Jesus did. He's describing what Jesus did. On the earth, in Jerusalem, they had a temple that was made with hands. In the desert, in the wilderness, they had a tabernacle that was made with hands. And inside that tabernacle, and eventually in the holy place, in the temple of Jerusalem, there were several things. There was a table of showbread. There was Aaron's rod that budded. But the most important thing was there was the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a big box made out of gold. And inside that box were the two tables of stone that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. And you find that the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was shut up, and he would take blood and he would sprinkle those things to cleanse them. But when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he went into the real Holy of Holies. See, what Moses designed and built on the earth after God's instruction was just a model of what's in heaven. It wasn't the real Holy of Holies. It was modeled after heaven. But Jesus went to the real thing with his own blood. And watch what happened. We're in Hebrews 9, beginning with verse 23. So on one hand, the copies of the original things in heaven had to be purified with such sacrifices, bulls and goats and calves. But on the other hand, the original things themselves in heaven with better sacrifices than these. For it was not a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of a true one that Christ entered, but it was into heaven itself that he went in order now to appear for us in the very presence of God. And he does not enter to offer himself over and over again as the high priest enters the sanctuary year after year with the blood that's not his own. For if that had been the case, would he have to suffer over and over again ever since the creation of the world? But as it is, once at the close of the ages, he, that's Jesus, appeared to put away sin by his sacrifice. Indeed, just as men must die but once and after that be judged, so Christ was offered once for all to take away the sins of many. But again, he will appear without having anything to do with sin to save those who are eagerly waiting for him and bring them final salvation. So here the writer tells us that Jesus entered into the holy place one time. That's all it took to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now you can think of it like this. If you think of all the sin that's ever been committed on the earth, Jesus, because he was born of a virgin, God was his father, and he lived a sinless life, was able to satisfy the claims of justice for all humanity through his death and his burial and his resurrection. In fact, the redemptive work of Christ, the crucifixion and the resurrection, is a pivotal point in the history of man. If there's one thing, you know, when I get to heaven, I mean, when I'm done, what I'm doing down here, don't go early till you're finished. Are you with me? The one thing I want to do, and I truly believe we'll be able to sit down and, like, watch what happened. You know, boy, I'd like to see the Red Sea crossing. Oh, yeah, okay, hit that button over there. Beep, and you get to watch. I mean, why not? We can do stuff like that. We're men. Are you with me? The one thing I want to see is the resurrection of Christ. Man, you talk about a powerful event. That was it. In fact, it was so powerful. The redemptive work of Christ is so powerful. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said this, had the princes of this world known. Now, who was he talking about? Talking about men? No, he's talking about wicked spirits in high places. Those evil forces of darkness that manipulated and prodded men and brought them to the point where they killed Jesus. Had the princes of this world known what was going to happen, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
None.
You know why? It cost them everything they had.
None.
Cost them everything they had. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, the devil had no more authority over you or over me. He lost his authority. He lost his power. In fact, Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. He says, I am he that was dead and now lives. And he said, looky here, I got the keys to hell and death.
All right.
Amen? He spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. It was the worst thing the devil could have done. kill Jesus. Because when he killed Jesus, Jesus satisfied the claims of justice. He shed his blood because he was without sin. God on the cross laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when he rose from the dead, Satan knew it was over. He knew it was over. Now, redemption, the shedding of Jesus' blood, is a pivotal point in not just human history, but also our faith. Everything we have in the kingdom of God, listen to this now, everything we have in the kingdom of God is not based upon what we do or how good we are or how we carry or conduct ourselves. Everything we experience in the kingdom of God is because of what he did on the cross. Amen. It's based on what he did on the cross. Amen. See, I'm not good enough. Are you with me?
Amen.
And see, sometimes the devil can try to manipulate and play games with your mind. Oh, you know, you don't deserve this. You know what I tell him? You're right, but I'm going to take it anyway. Because Jesus paid the price. Because Jesus paid the price. And see, what happens so many times, we get caught up with legalism, do's and don'ts. And we figure, well, if I do this, God will bless me. Well, God will bless you if you're part of the covenant. God will bless you if you're part of the family. Now, you need to do some things. You need to conduct yourself the right way. Are you with me? But everything we have is a benefit of redemption. It's because of what Jesus did, not what I did. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, all I have to do to receive an inheritance in the kingdom of God is just believe in what he did. That's it. Just believe in what he did. Salvation is not by what you do, but salvation is by what you believe. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said, "For you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." And so we can stand and walk and live in victory, not because of us. Now, why am I telling you this? Because many times in the course of life, you might stumble, you might make a mistake, you might not do or say the right thing. All you have to do is have confidence in the grace of God. Are you with me? Don't let your little stumble exclude you from all of your covenant rights. And that's what the devil endeavors to do. You stumble a little bit, now he's going to condemn you for 5 months. And then you think, oh, well, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that. You know, the devil comes and attacks you with something, and you know, your brain is thinking, well, I probably deserve this. Listen, Jesus paid a horrible price for your redemption. So we're going to explore over the next several weeks what benefits accrue to us because of the redemptive work of Christ. Are you with me?
Amen.
What benefits accrue to us because of what Jesus did on the cross? All right, turn with me now to one last portion of Scripture, Romans chapter 3. And this is the last one we'll look at today. Amen. We made good time. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3. Well, I'm sorry. Put your finger in Romans 3. That is the last portion of Scripture we're going to look at, but I skipped one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the fourth passage of Scripture we're going to look at. We're only going to look at 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Redemption. Being ransomed in full by the blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, this is a passage of Scripture. If you don't know it, you need to commit it to memory. You need to memorize this, because this is important in your walk with Christ. Notice verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, or instead of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now here's a great redemptive truth in verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, when did this take place? When Jesus died on that cross. When Jesus died on that cross, God took all the sin that had ever been and that would ever be and laid it upon his Son. Jesus became that sacrificial lamb. He took the place of mankind and died and shed his blood. But because he was without sin, his blood was holy, and it satisfied God's claim of justice. And he suffered for 3 days and three nights. And after 3 days and three nights, God said, that's enough. And he raised him from the dead. And then the devil knew he was in trouble. Are you with me? So here's one thing you have to understand. Redemption, the first benefit that accrues to us because of redemption, is righteousness. Say righteousness.
Righteousness.
He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, in his redemptive work, there was a great exchange. He became sin so that we could become righteous. Now, without righteousness, you have no basis with which you can approach God. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to show you something. This is the last portion of Scripture we'll look at today. You guys learning anything today?
Yeah.
All right. Romans chapter 3, talking about redemption, 101. The first benefit of redemption that accrues to us is righteousness. Romans chapter... Now, I'm going to burst some of your bubbles here today, so, you know, please, 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 please know that I love you with all my heart. But we're going to kick over a sacred cow. You know what a sacred cow is? That's something that people worship instead of God. We got a lot of sacred cows in the church.
Amen.
We do. Things that people hold near and dear, but they ain't scriptural. You know, somebody said one time, you know, this old expression, Grandma taught it and I bought it. Well, thank God for Grandma, but Grandma could have been wrong. You better look in your Bible and see what the Word has to say about it. Romans chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 21. Now, I'm going to show you how people have taken Scripture out of its context and make give you the impression that it says something that it really doesn't. Now, watch this. Romans 3, we'll start at verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by, or you could say, which comes by, faith of Jesus Christ. Notice these next two words, unto all. Say unto all.
Unto all.
Notice the next three words, and upon all. Say upon all.
Upon all.
Unto all and upon all them that believe. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a believer?
Amen.
If you're a believer, raise your hand. And say, righteousness,
righteousness
is unto me.
Is unto me.
Righteousness
is upon me.
Now, it says unto all. That doesn't exclude anybody, does it?
No.
The only qualification is you got to be a believer.
Amen.
So now the righteousness of God without the law, without keeping the rituals, the ordinances, the ceremonies, is available to us. How? By faith in what Jesus did. And if you believe in what Jesus did, then that righteousness is unto you and upon you. Can you see that? Now, watch this. For there is no difference. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice verse 24, being justified freely through his grace. Now, the word justified is an old English word that means to declare righteous. To declare righteous. Now, he's talking to us and telling us that we've been declared righteous.
Amen.
Remember what he said, the righteousness of God is unto all and upon all them that believe. So we've been declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But you know what we focus on? That one verse right in the middle. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My goodness, I heard that all the time I was growing up in church. I felt so condemned. I didn't care what I did. I got saved, felt condemned. Got baptized, felt condemned. Because, you know, we always harped on all have sinned, all have sinned, all have sinned. Yeah, but what about the verse before that? What about the verse after that? Are you with me? Right in the middle of an explanation of righteousness is a fact that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but thank God for what Jesus did. Because Jesus died on the cross, I can now identify with righteousness because it's unto me and it's upon me. Amen. Are you with me? But religion focuses on the sin part. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, that's the way I used to live. Are you with me? Now watch this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Now, verse 27, where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nope, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified or declared righteous without the deeds of the law. Now, here in the middle of Paul's exposition of righteousness, he lets us know several things. Number one, righteousness is a gift. You can't earn it. All you can do is believe. It's a free gift. Number two, it's upon all and unto all them that believe. Number three, we've been justified or declared righteous freely by his grace because of his redemptive work. So here's the sacred cow I'm going to kick over for you. There's an old expression. We've used this thing for centuries in the church. I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. I grew up. I could quote that at night with one eye closed. We're all just old sinners saved by grace. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says because of the redemptive work of Christ, we've been declared righteous freely. I have news for you. You're either an old sinner or you've been saved by grace. You can't be both. Are you with me? There was a great exchange. He became sin so that you could bear righteousness. Now, when you go around talking like that and believing like that and acting like that, you know what you really do? You diminish the redemptive work of Christ. You tell Jesus that what he did on the cross was not enough. You tell Jesus that his blood, as precious and as holy as it was not enough to satisfy the claims of justice for your life, because you will always be a sinner. But you've been saved by grace. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're either an old sinner or you've been saved by grace. Are you with me? And if you've been saved by grace, you have been justified freely. Righteousness is upon you. Righteousness is unto you. And you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. Are you with me? Sinner, you were. Righteous, you are. Are you with me? You ain't both. Sinner you were, but righteous you are. The first benefit that accrues to us because of the redemptive work of Christ is righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. Righteousness is being brought into right relationship with God. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without sin, without guilt, without condemnation, without fear. Amen? You've been justified by his grace. I have a little acronym I always use for justification or justify. God sees me just as if I'd never sinned. God sees me just as if I'd never sinned. righteousness. See, if you live your life in sin consciousness, your faith won't work. You'll be a victim. You'll live your life a victim of circumstance instead of being a victor. We'll pick up with this next week. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord.